Blog Talk Radio.
Most of the time, you don't have to think about what to do. You just go ahead and do it.
From the Temple of Truth, the Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio. From the Temple of Truth, the Willie Lawson Show, here on Blog Talk Radio.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text. Oh, there's another one. Wow. Busy, busy me. So, anyway...
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. My friends keep commenting on my comment. Oh, there's another one. So many comments on my comment.
Oh, I can't wait to watch TV tonight. Playoffs!
Hey, guys, check out my new video game.
Pew, pew.
Wait.
Mom, what?
Huh? What? Hold on.
What'd you say?
Wait a sec, what?
This weekend, unplug. Take your family to the forest. There's nothing in the world like experiencing nature firsthand. Trees, paths, bluebirds, streams. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-229-7271 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-229-7271. 2972-71 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-229-7271 to get your car protected today. Call 877-229-7271. That's 1-877-229-7271. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-229-7271. That's 877-229-7271.
Far from the city where the Lorax roams free is the home of a magical truffula trees. They grow happy and healthy and thick as you please, just waiting for visits from yous and from me's.
Whoa.
In a place you will love with things you'll adore us, it's a magical spot. We call it the forest.
Look, everyone here needs the trees.
And who are you?
Wait, I'm the Lorax, guardian of the forest. I speak for the trees.
Visit the animals. Come see the plants. From the mighty sequoia to the tiniest ants. Discover its beauty. Take time to relax. See brown barbalutes or even the Lorax.
I feel so alive!
I just like hearing you say it.
The forest is there for you to explore. So come once to see it, then come back lots more. Visit discovertheforest.org. This message has been brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome to the Willie Lawson Show. Hang on a second. You know what? Let me close the door. I got a little involved. A friend of mine called that I hadn't spoken to in a while, and right at the beginning of the show. And hang on a second. Let me get up and close the door. And we talked for a little bit. He's a friend of the show. His name is Stanley Gloucester. He called, and politically, he had a pretty good night, and you know, we congratulated him on it. He's done some work with some candidates. He's a force with the. Hang on a second, I broke my only working pen. Nice job. he's a force with the folks at the Florida Assembly of Black Republicans, which I am I'm the communications director, they had a really good. We had a really good night last night. EJ Otero. Hispanic fellow who's been doing the work here in District 3, won his primary against Eddie Adams, and he's off to face Kathy Castor in a real battle. And we talked about this, and I'm going to talk about this a little later. And now it's time for RPOF to get up off their ass and support candidates in minority districts, especially supporting minority candidates in minority districts. And Byron McDonald. From South Florida, who actually won his primary as well. So we are looking forward to a fun-filled fall, and we will see exactly how things work out. Because here's the deal, folks. Here's the deal. It would seem to me that it would make a whole bunch of sense. We talk about this all the time. We've talked about this for I don't know forever on the show that. How difficult it is, frankly, to be a minority Republican and a minority conservative, how difficult it is, because you are usually, and I'll be honest with you, usually going straight up against not only your community, but your family most of the time. I mean, you're going up against your family a lot of times and your friends, and you are going against the grain. So it's tough to start with. And what you would hope is that Republicans, if you are a Republican, would support that, would acknowledge, you know, if nothing else, acknowledge that and support that and be willing to support Republicans no matter where they are. Even if they're in heavily Democrat liberal districts, you support all Republicans. Not just this bean counter idea of we're only going to support Republican races we think we can win. And we know what we call that on this show, being a freaking coward. You know, and then and it's worse than that. It's worse than that. What you see a lot of times is this. Well, why don't you run? Yeah, you run in. I mean, you run your district, and then you look for that support, knowing that you need that. Cause you're going to need that support from the exterior of your district to do well, because everybody knows where you're running. And then you find out that there's no exterior support coming. So. People encourage a lot of times minority candidates to run in minority districts and then abandon them. I'm just telling you, I've seen it happen with my friend Eddie Adams. I've seen it happen with my friend Stanley Gloucester. I've seen it happen time and time again. I saw it happen in my own campaign. I've seen it happen. So no one can tell me that it doesn't happen. And we had a conversation with RPOF Chair Lenny Curry. And we're going to have another conversation. This is actually part two now of his commitment to what he told me. And basically, he told me a couple of things. I had him do some. You know what? We had a conversation a few months ago. I don't know if you remember that. We had a 3-hour show, and he called during the show, and he was kind of upset with me. Yeah, I don't really care. So now we're going to send the tweet. Lenny Curry. There you go. Time to implement part two of Urban, implement part two of Urban Republican. CD14, baby. I'll just write that. CD14, baby. There you go. I think I'll write it. Okay. I'll write that in public. Sometimes you want to write like a private message, but I figured, what the hell? I'll write that in public. Some people will know what it means. Some people won't know what it means. But that's the deal. That is the deal. Now it's time for RPOF and Lenny Curry to you know what? And I ask for anything. I ask for interns. Send some interns down here to help this guy out, E.J. Otero. Help him out. Send some interns down there to Byron McDonald, help them out. Send some money their way. Send some access to money. You know what? A lot of times in these campaigns, it isn't just, okay, I'm expecting the state party to write me a check. All right, well, you know what? If I'm running for Congress, I'm expecting the state party to write me a damn check. You know, I am. But if, you know what? I'm also expecting this. I'm expecting that the state party, who has the list, let me tell you, if you don't think there's a list, you're wrong. You're just wrong. There's a list that says, you know, what? These are the people with money. These are the people who continually donate to the party. These are the people who donate to candidates, and they donate maximum. A lot of times, urban candidates just want to get in front of folks. Let me know when that party is. Let me know when that thing is. Let me get in front of them. Hell, let me plead my own case. Let me get in front of them. And, you know, if nothing else, I think that these urban Republican candidates deserve that opportunity. They've won their primaries. They've won their primaries against other Republicans. You hear me? They've won their primaries against other Republicans, and they deserve that opportunity. And if the Republican Party is serious at all about expanding their scope into the urban community and making changes where changes need to be made, and if they think for a second you can do that, that you can defeat Barack Obama without an attempt, listen to me, without an attempt to interface with urban Republicans in the urban community, they are freaking wrong. Wrong. I'm just going to say it here. If RPOF does not do something that's substantive, not just, you know, on the surface for pictures, substantive to help E.J. Otero in CD14 and win a little to make gains somewhat in CD14, which is right in the heart, in the urban heart of the beginning of the I-4 corridor in Hillsborough County. If they don't make some gains, Barack Obama wins Hillsborough County, Barack Obama wins either I-4 corridor, Barack Obama wins Florida, Barack Obama is president again. So let me help you. Even if you're even if you don't give a crap about what I'm saying here, but you want to make sure that Barack Obama is not president on January 21st, 2013, listen up to what I'm saying. Then you want to send Lenny Curry, @Lenny, L-E-N-N-Y, Curry, C-U-R-R-Y, a tweet that says, implement, make sure I get it right, time to implement part two of Urban Republican. Time to implement part two of Urban Republican. CD14, baby. Send it to his Facebook page. Send it to his Twitter account. Because if you're interested in beating Barack Obama, you know what? You're going to have to beat Barack Obama in Florida. You're going to have to do something crazy. You're going to have to beat Barack Obama in Florida. You're going to have to make gains, although you may not win. You have to make gains in areas like where E.J. Otero is running. You have to. There's no way around it. You just can't say, well, we can do without it. No, you can't. You can't. It won't work. You're running against the guy that they keep shoving in your face is black. You understand me? You're running against a guy they keep shoving in your face is black. Now, I know that he's mulatto. I know he's biracial. I know all that. But you know what? He's black. And that's who you're running against. You're running against a guy they keep saying is urban because he's black. Well, he's not urban. But he's got a lot of support in the urban community. Unless you get the Republican message in there in a real way with the right people in a substantive way, guess what? You are going to lose. I'm just saying. You know what? You are going to lose. You're just going to. I'm just telling you. I don't want to be the harbinger of bad news. I don't want to be a Donnie Downer and all that stuff. You're just gonna lose. You know? If you don't put the right players on the field, you're going to lose. No matter how popular those players are, you're going to lose. Well, there's to it. So we start that. Now, last night in Florida was the Florida primary. Yeah. You know, let me tell you something. let me tell you something else. And I did a speaker show last night where I talked about this. Hey, for my folks who are watching on Ustream TV, hey, what up? Good to see you. Let me tell you something. Let's walk through this. New administration comes into Florida and decides, you know, we need to update the voter registration laws and the voter laws because there are major holes in these laws. And you know what? An election is coming up soon that is going to be very important, and we got to make sure that there is as little fraud as possible because the doors for fraud are wide freaking open, right? So new administration, new legislators write a bill. Get a law passed, and all the left starts freaking the hell out, starts losing their damn mind, just getting nutty. You know, Reverend Jackson shows up, and he shows up actually a few minutes from my house, in a church. I love how they meet in churches, like that gives them legitimacy. You know, the Sadducees met in religious places, and Christ called them vipers, bunch of snakes. So they meet in these churches, like that gives them some sort of legitimacy, like what they're saying is ordained somehow. They meet there with other pastors, and like so what they're saying has some truth, some legitimacy. But the fact of the matter is that it was just wrong. It was full of lies. It was full of half-truths. It was wrong. Now, one of the sticking points, my friends, was this, especially in Florida, was early voting. Early voting. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's when you spend a whole bunch of money that you don't need to spend for people to vote before the actual election day for no apparent reason. That's what early voting is. Now, this is early voting in a primary that's leading up to a national election. Right? So you would think that this early voting, that this primary would be important. We had a major senatorial campaign. I mean, one with national implications. Can we replace Bill Nelson? Here's Connie Mack IV. It ought to be a big freaking deal in the words of Joe Biden. It ought to be a big deal, right? Well, apparently, not so much. Apparently, not so much. Apparently, it's not a big deal. I guess it isn't. Well, what do you mean it's not a big deal? Well, I'll tell you why. I will tell you why. Because I ran the numbers for early voting. There are 12 days of early voting. Now, the new law says we need 8 days of early voting with the same amount of time, 96 hours or something like that, which means a lot of the early voting precincts would have to be open longer, which actually gives people more opportunity. So instead of closing at 5, you know, they'd have to stay open like from 6 to 6 or 9 to 9, you know, that kind of thing, actually giving people more access. Well, in the state of in Hillsborough County where we live, there are 706,000 or so registered voters. 20,000 of them chose in the 12 days before the election, in the 12 days, 12 frickin' days before the election, decided to early vote. 20,000 of them out of 706,000, 20 decided. Now, I don't know how good your arithmetic is. I don't know, you know, because a lot of us went to public school, so let me help you. Let me take 20,000 and divide it by 706,000. It is 2.8%. 12 days, all that time, all those man hours, all that money spent for less than 3% of eligible voters to vote. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear? Did you hear what I said? 2.8%. 2.8. Let me help you. 2.8% of the eligible registered voters chose to early vote. There were 12 in Hillsborough County, which is a preclearance county, which means we had to start early. We couldn't do 8 days. No. We had to do 12. So we did full 12. 2.8% of the of folks early voted. 2.8%. You've got to be flipping kidding me. Really? Seriously? You got to be outside your mind and to tell me that somehow if you go from 8 to 12, there'll be voter suppression. Oh, my God. Really? You have got to be kidding me. There ain't no way on God's green earth that this and these laws are suppressing anybody to get registered or to vote. No, when you register somebody, you can't hold on to those registration forms for months. No, you got to turn them in a couple days. I've done that. I've taken those forms. You get people to fill them out, and then you take them to the supervisor of elections office. You drop them off. Somehow that's suppression. You take the forms, you get people to fill them out, and then you take them and turn them in. You don't get to do anything with them. You take them and turn them in. You don't hold on to them for 30 days. You don't hold on to them for 45 days, 90 days. You don't hold on to them. There isn't any benefit to holding on to them. As a matter of fact, it's a detriment to the voter because they get their voter registration cards later and later and later and later. No, it's better that as soon as you fill one out, you turn it in. It's too bad you can't just hand it to the supervisor election guy as soon as somebody fills it out. It needs to be turned in right away. A couple days, you got 48 hours, turn them in. That's not voter suppression. What that actually does, it makes it damn harder to cheat. Well, that's why I said it. What? Did I say something bad? Or did I say something true? Gosh, you know, they hate it when I talk about true stuff. Like, oh, crap. Negro speaking truth. Negro speaking truth. Run. Negro speaking truth. They hate that crap. They hate it. But that's okay. It's okay. The truth will make you free. And bother a whole bunch of people in the meantime. It's okay. So again, so when you start hearing, and you will, about a whole bunch of voter suppression and these laws and early voting, let me tell you how it really worked out. Let me tell you what the numbers said, because that's what really matters. 2.8% of 700,000 people decided to early vote. Yeah, I'm thinking we could, you know, we could squeeze that 2.8% in over the, you know, over the rest of the time, you know, on yesterday. We could have squeezed those people in. Because the number that came out in Hillsborough County of that 706,000 people was somewhere at 15, no, it's not somewhere like, but it was 15.83%. That was the turnout. Let me help you. 15.83%. What? Write that freaking number down. 15.83%. Now, because I know the left hates these old, you know, they hate these facts and figures. They hate that. But let me give you some more facts and figures. Of all 67 counties in the state of Florida, 20.33% turnout. Now, why was it that high? Because some of the small counties, and I mean small counties with less than 5,000 registered voters, had 50 and 60% turnout. That's why it was that high, 20.33. Well, how can you say that? Well, because even though I went to public school, I ain't stupid. Let me help you. The six largest counties, that is counties that have more than 500,000 registered voters. Of the six counties, of the 67 that have more than 500,000 registered voters, the turnout was 16.47%. It was less than 17%. Yep, with all that early voting and all that voter suppression, yeah, that nobody got to do. Why? Because most of it was held up in the Justice Department. Nobody gives a crap. There is no voter suppression, ladies and gentlemen. Doesn't exist. It's ridiculous. And the second the left starts pulling that crap where you live, what I want you to do is I want you to go to the Division of Elections, Department of Elections in Florida, go to their website and start pulling numbers and going, well, you know what? Florida has some really good new voter laws, and there didn't seem to be any suppression there. What there actually seemed to be is continued and painful apathy. All right, listen, today on the Willie Lawson Show, today I've got a good friend. I got a good friend who you know what? As soon as Mitt Romney said, hey, listen, I think I'll pick that Paul Ryan guy, I went, huh, really? I know somebody who has an opinion. I know, hey, again, talking to my friends on Ustream, somebody who has an opinion. And this person is important to me because this person, you know, without her encouragement, I would not be here today sitting in this chair. You know what? And I counted the number of shows we've done. It's almost 1,600 shows. in 54 months. It's almost 1,600 shows just here. Not the ones done for somebody else, not the Don't Go movement shows, not any of that stuff. Just right here, sitting in this chair. My butt is so sore. Anyway, without her encouragement, it would have been impossible. And we're headed to Radio Row and to sit amongst the titans of media, and without her encouragement, it would have been impossible. It just wouldn't have happened. Her name is Elizabeth Blackney, and I think that's her on line one. Let's see if we can click the button and not bring down the internet. From the 757, good morning.
Hello, you know it's me.
Hey, hon. What's up?
You said, hey, let's cause trouble. I said, sign me up.
Oh, it is always a pleasure. It's always an honor, and I mean to talk to you. It is absolutely amazing what has transpired since we started this madness back in 08. You know what? And Alan Levy was wrong. Alan was wrong. We love Alan, but he was wrong when he said Barack Obama would get elected and we wouldn't have anything to talk about. You and I spoke off air and said Alan's wrong.
Yeah, he's wrong. He's still wrong, so and I love Alan. But, you know, I had a feeling, you know, no president, I don't care who they are and what party they're in, what they believe in, what their baseline is, every president gives the other side something to talk about. You know, that's the beauty of living in a place where we have freedom of speech and freedom of religion, and you get to say and do all kinds of things. And when you have somebody who is certainly been an advocate, like Barack Obama has for certain things, we knew it was on.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still on.
It's crazy.
It's about and to be on fire in a very big way come November.
Okay, let's get to the core. Now, I know that you've been a Romney girl for a while, and that's good. And that's good.
Well, you know us rhinos, we had to fall in line quick.
Oh, hush.
Us establishment types.
Well, you know, I told people.
I said, we were right. He is the nominee last time I checked, right? Oh, yep, right. Yeah. That means
correct.
He got more votes than everybody else.
That
anyway.
Is also correct.
Just so now, we're, see, that's where I get the rhino thing. I got to get everybody mad at me. It's no fun if we don't get hate mail.
Now, I said earlier, I said here. Now, people ask me, and I said, you know what, if out of the St. Pete Towns Forum, I guess what it was called at the time, if the Republicans have on their shoulders a bowl of soup and a plate of Ritz crackers, I'm all in.
That's right.
I'm all in.
I like some Ritz crackers. Let's do
I'm
this.
So when it was obvious that the campaign that survived, really, in the beginning, the war of attrition, as other these sort of amateurs, you know, and sad to say, amateurs' campaigns self-destructed on their own. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, yeah, that's actually pretty kind. It was a full, you know, it was a mass self-immolation.
Ouch!
Just poured the oil on and just lit themselves on fire, one right after the other. People, and everybody should know, I was a Rick Perry person first.
Mm-hmm.
And when he set himself on fire, I just wanted to hurt. I just wanted to crawl and live in a toilet or something. It was just painful to watch him go.
He set himself on fire in public. and the scariest thing about that, and the saddest thing, is that while he is just cooking there, Ron frickin' Paul is watching him and laughing. It was just the saddest thing I've seen.
It hurt. It hurt. It gave me physical pain, Willie. Physical pain.
It's awful. You're right. You're right. So as these campaigns were self-destructing around him, it was obvious that who the professionals were. It just was, you know. And I know that people weren't happy with it, but the professionals were the people who are working on the Romney campaign, obviously. So at the end of it, Mr. Romney is the nominee. That's all there is to it. And do you hear what I hear sometimes? I still hear people say, well, what about the camp? You think that one of the Republicans is going to show up at the convention? I don't know.
Oh, my gosh. They do this every 4 years. The next thing that will happen is during our convention and during the president's convention, people will say that Hillary and Joe Biden are going to switch because Joe Biden did the, you know, the whole chains comment. And for the record, he's off the chain is what he is. And on our side, they're going to say, oh, well, Paul Ryan's too extreme, so they're going to switch him out. This kind of crap happens every 4 years. Everybody, no, they're not changing anything. Paul Ryan and his P90X, deer hunting, archery, awesome, hotness.
Living in my office.
is going to be our VP nominee, and everybody on the left can just deal. And everybody on the left can deal with the fact that Joe Biden's their man, too. So they do. People do this every 4 years. There is always that kind of loud contingent in either party who doesn't like what's going on at the top of the ticket. And, you know, and they make stuff up. And then they're fueled by staffers for people who didn't get on the ticket, who, you know, try and cause trouble because they get paid to cause trouble. And it's just the reality is that it's Barack Obama and Joe Biden against Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan. And as Emily Zanotti would say, hey, girl, it's Paul Ryan. It's on.
It
and
is.
If anybody hasn't seen the Hey, Girl, It's Paul Ryan, they need to go to Hey, Girl, It's Paul Ryan, no apostrophe, obviously, .tumblr.com. That is the funniest website in the world ever for any reason. Because if the hysteria on the left about Paul Ryan being picked is any indication of how awesome November 6th is going to be for the right, you know, I mean, it's just a perfect encapsulation of everything. He's got, you know, the most political swag since Bill Clinton, and it's on.
He just seems to draw out the crazy and the completely unreasonable in people. And again, when you talk about Paul Ryan, you say, you know what, it's the old P90X. It's the dude hasn't bought a house in D.C. He's living in his office. He's 42 years old. He's got three young kids. He's about as Catholic as the Pope. You know what? And he is freaking bulletproof. He ain't scared of Barack Obama, and we know he ain't scared because he's already gone up. He's gone toe to toe with the president. And the left is just like freaking the heck out.
I have to tell you, I was really, I was at the announcement on Saturday, mm-hmm. and had a chance to spend a couple minutes with Paul Ryan. And ladies, it's true, he really is that fine in person. He's actually more fine in person. But mostly, it was fascinating to me. We got to spend a little bit of time with Mitt and Ann Romney, who are exceedingly nice.
Yeah.
And impossibly wonderful. And I would like to share just a little vignette. Mitt Romney met my daughter a couple months ago at an event here in Virginia. You know, we're in swing state hell here, so they're here all the time, all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And which is nice, actually, because you get a, you know, it's like being in, you know, in New Hampshire for the primaries. They all come and they shake virtually every hand in the state, which is actually kind of interesting. And Romney remembered meeting my daughter before, And as, you know, some of your listeners will know, I'm a Gold Star wife, so it's just my daughter and I. And it's really fascinating to have Mitt Romney in our universe. And it was really fascinating. He told my daughter he wished for her what Anne has given to him and what he hopes he gave to Anne.
Oh, my goodness.
And he told my daughter how, you know, she is just as, you know, just as smart and just as beautiful as Anne was at that age, and to just keep focused because, you know, all the good things that she wishes for her life are possible. And, you know, there were no cameras, there were no other people, except for a couple other Gold Star families. And Ann Romney said the same thing. You know, these are real people. You know, for the family values crowd, you know, all kidding aside about rhinos and whatnot, we all believe in really strong families and strong marriages and strong parents and good guidance and good education for our kids. And, you know, Mitt Romney is the guy who's walked that walk and talked that talk. I mean, he's lived it. He's been with Anne since he was a teenager.
Yeah.
They've had 47 years together. And he's a good man with a good job, and he comes home every night and he loves his wife and his kids. You know, it sounds like you, it sounds like my dad, it sounds like every, you know, every dad and and every husband of anybody that I've ever known, including my late husband, this is an authentic character. People can say he's nerdy or not exciting or whatever. You know what? Maybe not to people who want the Kardashians to come for dinner, but I don't want the Kardashians to run my country. I want a man who is solid, who is stable, who does the right thing by the people in his life and builds them up and makes their lives better and does that exponentially for others. And Mitt Romney's just that guy. And that's why I picked Paul Ryan, because he's that guy too.
Yeah, I agree. I've not spent that level of time with Governor Romney, but you know, hey, we're in a swing state too, so we get to see these folks a lot, and we're in the I-4 corridor of the swing state, so we're in the eye of the
well, and you've got sometimes. You know, you've got the RNC convention here in a few days. You know, Marco Rubio is introducing the governor at the convention.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, you're at ground zero.
That's
you know, for the next 3 weeks, you are full on ground zero.
Yep, that's exactly right.
And it will be there, it will be Florida, it will be Virginia and Ohio and maybe Colorado that are the big deal this fall. And I think it's important people need to... They need to be engaged, completely and totally engaged.
I agree with you entirely. Before you came on, I was screaming and yelling about the absolutely crappy turnout in our primary, 20.33% statewide.
Wow.
The six biggest counties, with voting populations more than 500,000, 16.7%. Yeah, I was not a happy camper last night driving home. I wanted to cuss, and I shouldn't be cussing. So you know what? We got to really, you know what? I think we really have to turn it on between now and then. And hopefully, in 2 weeks, I've got my board here. In 2 weeks, we're going to be in downtown, and the convention will be on. And we need to be full on. We need to do a full on press because this is, you know what? It's not hyperbole. Lizzie, it's not hyperbole. This is one of the most important elections in our nation's history. It's not hyperbole.
Oh, I mean, I think so.
You know, I actually believe that. So, listen, let's talk about Ryan. My favorite part is the dude lives in his office. That's my favorite part. Because, I mean, talk about somebody who decided to be there but not be there. No, I just live in a car. Just sleep in a bed in the back there. I'm good. I sleep at home. And I love your line about he goes home every night because it wasn't there a line from Joe Biden that he goes home almost every night?
Most nights. He goes home most nights. He said that in 2008, and I almost lost my mind.
I was thinking, what the hell?
I go home most nights. I'm like, really? That Jill must be awfully cool.
I'm thinking, what do you do?
You are living the dream, aren't you? Most nights.
This is my favorite.
Wow. Most nights. Most nights, I don't cheat on my wife. Well, most nights, I'm a parent. What?
Most nights? I kind of get in there every now and then.
Yeah, you know. I gave her the house. I mean, it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. And, you know, I mean, everybody knows that Joe Biden is an exceedingly nice person, you know, one-on-one, that he's a good husband and a good dad and everything else. But when he says things like that, that are so emblematic of the Democratic brand and, you know, let's just live however and whenever and woohoo, you know, morality be damned, we're cool. When he says stuff like that, I'm like, dude, what? Most nights? Like, that's why you're losing and hemorrhaging married women, Barack.
Yeah.
You're hemorrhaging, you know, family-centered people. Why? You're hemorrhaging independence. Why? Because y'all go home most nights. I mean, I guess that's true since, you know, Barack Obama did send his wife and her 25 of her friends and one of their daughters off to Mallorca, Spain here a couple of years ago while Valerie Jarrett hosted his private birthday party in Chicago. But, you know, as long as the wife got to go to Spain, it's all good.
Yeah, I was curious. You know what? If I had the cash to do that, I don't think I could send my wife Debbie off with my son and 25 of her friends to some other part of the world.
Well, Gloria Stefan hosted your private birthday party. Probably
you,
not.
Because you know that Gloria Stefan, my girl, right?
I do.
Yeah, we're going to party with Gloria. She could throw a birthday party for me.
Yeah, don't concern yourself with this private birthday party, honey. Why don't you go enjoy Spain? I would like to see any man in a proper marriage try and put that over on his wife.
Yeah.
That doesn't end well,
no.
Just so we're clear.
No, just saying. Yeah, it is interesting.
No, I mean, I may have been born yesterday, but it wasn't last night, and I know for sure that's not going to fly.
No. You mentioned that the president is hemorrhaging married women and families. Now, it isn't just because of what we're talking about. Currently, they are involved in a campaign that I'm watching some of these commercials, and I'm sure because you're in the swing state, you're seeing them too, about how Mitt Romney doesn't understand women, blah, 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 and all this stuff. Now, what I can't figure out is who the hell are they talking to in these commercials? I'm not
right.
Sure, because they are talking to me.
They're
these
base.
Aren't directed towards me. Are they talking to you?
Yeah, they are not talking to me. You know, it's funny. I had a really interesting, because I care deeply about women's health, you know, maternal and child health all around the world, and I care about these issues. I engage with women from a large cross section of society, and I have been fascinated to see some of the things that the Obama campaign has put out. And I'm fascinated to see why they're sticking with these ads even in swing states. You know, their base voters are the ones who genuinely believe that women don't have equal rights. Now, I can tell you for sure I have some equal rights because it's in the Constitution.
There you go.
You know, and maybe it's because they go to Jefferson Jackson Day dinners. You know, I mean, Thomas Jefferson, you know, rest his soul, he's a good guy, but he didn't believe that black folks were equal, and he didn't believe that women were equal, and that none of us should have been allowed to vote. And he was a slaveholder, and, you know, I mean, this is just, you know, not awesome. They go to Andrew Jackson, you know, they honor Jackson, who was the only U.S. president, well, you know, until recently, to sanction a genocide and order one. You know, so with the Trail of Tears and slaughtering of Native Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, maybe because they're celebrating people who did not celebrate equality in a real way, that they are concerned about these things. But, you know, in the Constitution, women do have the right to vote. We can own property. We have all the same rights as men. All the same rights as men. You know, we have the EEOC, we have human resources in every company. There are all kinds of things in our Constitution and U.S. Code that make us equal. Now, you know, life isn't fair, and I don't expect it to be fair. You know, I'll trade things so that I can be home to be with my daughter. And you know, I tell kids that I mentor, you got to know what you're willing to do for a paycheck, and you got to know what you're willing to walk away from.
Yes.
And when you know that, then you really know real equality. So I don't know what their problem is, and I think that the president's team is a lot more concerned about this election than anybody wants to let on. Nobody wants to say out loud that the guy may just not be able to get across the finish line a second time. But if he was worried about your average married woman or your average female or independent voter, he wouldn't be running ads trying to remind Democratic females that we don't yet have abortion on demand, and we, you know, I mean, it's weird. I think that Mitt Romney has done the stealthy, silent type routine all the way through, and I think it's going to be successful in November.
Yeah, because that does make sense. But I'm watching these commercials, Lizzie, and I'm thinking, and my 21-year-old son is like, Dad, who is this for? Who are they talking to? Women, you know what? You can still go to county health and get birth control if you want. There's still abortion on demand. There's still all these, like you said, all these things that they're talking about.
Yeah, there's settled law. Roe v. Wade is the law of the land.
Yeah.
Roe v. Wade is the law of land. You know, you guys won. Take the win. You know, you've got it. You got exactly what you asked for. And, you know, there are all of the scare tactics and everything else. I don't need a man to tell me whether or not I'm equal. I know that anyway.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need the government to tell me I'm equal. I know that anyway. You know, it's in the Constitution. I can read. I don't need permission, you know, from some man. They talk about Republicans being all paternalistic, but they're the ones who are begging for permission from a man. I don't need permission. You know, I get up, I do the work every day. I make decisions about how to raise my daughter and how to run my business. I built that.
Ooh, did you really?
I did. I built that, and everybody I know built that. You built all 1,600 of your shows.
I did.
You know, and your wife and your amazing son. So all of this discussion from the left, I find very, you know, I find it pitiable, frankly. People ask me, I was at a really terrific conference in New York earlier this month at the Blog Her conference. And mm-hmm. It was really, really fascinating to meet women from all across the political spectrum. And one of the women after my panel asked me, aren't you worried about women's rights in this country as well? And, you know, as a survivor of sexual and gender-based violence myself, I said, well, sure, but I don't worry about equal pay for equal work because I've seen women out-earn men because of my chosen field. You know, I know that women can do it. It's just, you know, it's a matter of how we get there and a matter of the choices we make. You know, all of this trying to live in a risk-averse society, you know, is fantasy. It's fiction. We do not live in a risk-averse society. And I find it fascinating. I said, don't you feel equal? Well, no, I don't. And I said, well, that's the difference between you and me. I can work on women's issues and be anti-genocide and work on that stuff because I'm not worried about equality in the United States. Because there are people like Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney and George W. Bush and all kinds of other folks and Joe Lieberman and, Ron Wyden, who's trying to work on Medicare fixes with Paul Ryan and others who do believe women are equal and are trying to do the work. I'm not worried about that because I know that the American people are smart enough to throw bums out of office who try and take our freedoms away.
Again, sounds reasonable to Will. I just need somebody to let me know because I don't know why they stay there because it seems to be the more they stay there, Lizzie, the more they're going to put that wedge in between the women they're talking to from on the commercials and the women that are sitting there with their husbands and their families watching these commercials, saying these people aren't us. This is not us. This is not us at all. This man and this campaign is not even talking to us anymore. So
no,
not only you. So not only are we've been living in the past 3.5, almost 4 years, kind of on our own out here because the economy's tanked and people have lost jobs, and now this campaign, who's trying to get reelected, they're not even talking to me. They decided that I don't matter.
Right. I think that's really important. I think that, you know, that these are the kinds of things that folks need to look at, is that, you know, people are tired of talking to pollsters, and they're tired, and nobody wants to be seen as racist. Nobody wants to be seen as mean or unfair to the special boy with the weird mommy like Barack Obama. Everybody wants to be seen as being respectful of the President of the United States. But when you look at their ads, and the kind of rhetoric that Stephanie Cutter continues to use, that David Axelrod used on the Sunday shows this last week, when you look at the rhetoric and the things that they are doing, if they were that confident, they wouldn't be so hysterical. And because they're hysterical, I am increasingly confident. You know, slow and steady wins the race. And Barack Obama wants to put everything away right now, right now, right now. And that's why you end up with Joe Biden out there telling people that they want to put y'all back in chains.
Honey, I played that clip yesterday.
Excuse me?
And you know what? And there were two parts of that few seconds that bothered me. The first part is that Joe Biden is that uncontrolled in that environment. That would come out of his that would fall out of his face. And the other part, really, and I talked to this with some people who are like me, who said, how in the hell can black people sit there and clap? I don't get that. I don't get that at all. How the hell do black people sit there and clap? You know what? He's pulling the Amos and Andy trick right there in front of my face, and I'm not ready to kick his ass? Really? Seriously? Who puts up with that?
Right. I have to tell you, when I saw that, it took my breath away. I mean, I'm used to seeing Joe Biden say stuff that's crazy, like I go home most nights, and I can joke about that.
Or you can't go to a 7-Eleven without hearing it.
But the Chains comment, I can't get my mind around why anybody would say that in either party for any reason. And, you know, I watch Morning Joe every morning, and this morning, you know, it was Mika didn't want anybody talking about it because she knows how bad it is for Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Joe Scarborough went off. And it's the kind of thing, and he made the point, if Paul Ryan had said that,
Game over.
Ben Jealous and all those people at the NAACP, you know, if we thought, you know, I mean, I remember the James Byrd ads against W. I remember all the not nice things that they have said and done. But the put y'all back in chains, I'll tell you what, if Joe Biden wants to have a conversation about black folks in chains, we can talk about the Obama policy on Sudan.
Do they have a policy on Sudan other than pretending?
Oh, yes, they do. They have a policy that they just announced. Well, it's been, you know, where they kind of had completed rhetoric. There's a Reuters story about it today, and the president is now openly negotiating with the Sudanese government, and we oppose regime change. Now, mind you, people need to understand, this is a guy in Khartoum who is the only head of state who is an indicted war criminal for genocide, crimes against humanity, rape is a crime. You know, I mean, this is one of the most evil men in human history. You know, 2 million dead. You know, millions displaced. You know, people without religious freedom, people with nothing, who continues, you know, with this, with a new genocide in the Nuba Mountains, who continues to do this. And Barack Obama has outsourced diplomacy on dealing with the oil in Sudan, South Sudan, to China, who has a direct financial interest in it, profits from genocide. And Barack Obama, I mean, we are, as a matter of policy, the United States is now supporting a genocidal government. And Barack Obama and Joe Biden dare to lecture Republicans, or anyone for that matter, about putting black folks back in chains when they are standing by and looking askance as a genocide is occurring. Peaceful people, black Africans who have been there for 6,000 years, a people who was mentioned in the Bible, who were revered by Jews, by Arabs, by everybody, the globe over for 6,000 years, and Joe Biden wants to talk about in chains? In chains, shall we talk about how much it costs per person to get them freed? Would he like to meet with the people who testified at, like, Luol Deng, who testified last year after his rescue by Christian Solidarity International from being a slave who was blinded by his master in Sudan? Does he really want to go? I mean, it blew my mind. I don't get it. And, you know, that they want to talk about morality, they can kiss my white, juicy Georgia behind.
Well, you know, it's...
I'm done.
It's... And the part that obsesses me about all this is that all these things are true, and we've got a media machine that simply ignores it. It's like it doesn't happen.
Right.
Because we've got, you know what, Lizzie, I agree with you. Most people in this country are good folks. They are.
And when they
see injustice at that level, they not only do they react, they act. You know, we've seen it all the time. When we see things that are going wrong and bad in other countries, we react. you know what, the churches get fired up, the civic organizations get fired up, people get fired up, and they say, we got to do something. And sometimes they say, screw our government, no matter who's in charge, we're going to send folks over there, we're going to get this done, we're going to help because that's what we do. That's how Americans are. That's part of our charm.
How we roll.
That's not part of our charm. That's how we do it.
Yep.
And I know in my heart of hearts is that if more people really understood a Holocaust, and I use that word intentionally because that stirs up the emotion, is continuing right now in Africa.
Yep, today, right this minute. That's just Sudan and South Sudan.
Yeah.
That's before we even get to what's going on in Congo or anywhere else. I mean, it is unconscionable that in today's day and age that this is where Barack Obama is at, and that he and Joe Biden have the temerity to get on television and lecture anybody about morality or race relations or family values. Like, give me a break.
Yes.
When you outsource an issue to China because you don't want to deal with the implications of it because of whatever reason, it is a dereliction of duty and it is an abrogation of duty. It is shameful. It is shameful what he is doing.
Well, of course he outsources it because now because they take that in themselves, Lizzie. Now the question is, and it's a question that anyone would ask, that the Cub reporter at the Dowdell Middle School newspaper says, why'd you wait this long?
Right.
And they don't want to have to answer that question.
No, they don't want to answer the question. I was at the U.S. Holocaust Museum a couple of weeks ago for an event, and it struck me. We're sitting in the Holocaust Museum, and even then they couldn't, and Obama supporters, nor Secretary Clinton, nobody could say out loud, what the real deal is. It was left to Rich Williamson, who is a foreign policy advisor, to Mitt Romney, who is a good man and has done good things on trying to end genocide. He was the envoy for George W. Bush. He did great work. And it is an appalling lack of character that the president has. And Joe Biden is just right along for the ride. And it makes me sad and for my country. And this is why, folks are like, well, but, how do you feel about Paul Ryan and Mitt Romney? And I'm like, well, Mitt Romney's policy is, on Sudan. He released it to me in Act for Sudan in January.
Mm-hmm.
And, and that's, I mean, he talks about the responsibility to protect. It is much easier and much cheaper to make friends and to help people and be nice than it is. And that, and I'm not talking about nation building. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. I'm talking about just being nice. Than it is to do what has happened, on Bill Clinton's watch, Rwanda and Somalia. And we're still paying the price for leaving after the Black Hawk Down situation. So, Barack Obama's policies are going to have a consequence. And that's why it's important to me to get Mitt Romney elected and to get Paul Ryan elected, because we got to get our financial house in order so we can take care of our own kids. And I understand people are concerned about the foreign aid budget and they're worried about that. I get it. But as somebody who has observed this for more than 20 years, listen, we're paying the price today for Bill Clinton's cheap and expedient decision in 1993 after Black Hawk Down. And we're paying the price today for Ronald Reagan's decision that was expedient and seemed like a nice thing to do at the time after the barracks bombing in Lebanon, in Beirut. We need to be thinking about this long term. It's not just for the right now. We've paid the price with Islamic terrorism, trillions of dollars to our economy. So we can't look away from these problems. They're much easier to fix when they're little. And unfortunately, Barack Obama only cares about himself and getting reelected. And, when people tell me that Democrats own human rights and they own helping other people, I say, really, how many primarily Democratic churches have put together the money for groups in Haiti? show me what, you know, because I can tell you, we can start with Samaritan's Purse and the Graham family, and we can work right on to every other church in the country. It's not a partisan thing. Everybody in those churches are of both parties. Mm-hmm. People get together, and they help folks in Haiti. They help them in Sudan. They help them in Darfur in Sudan. They help them, you know, after the tsunami. They help people all over the world all the time.
Yep.
So, you know, I know who's doing the work. It's regular folks. And it's a darn shame that our president doesn't respect the American people's wisdom, because we do the hard work every day. We send missionaries. We send our kids to the Peace Corps. You know, and people are making a difference. And Barack Obama is shaming us. And he's got Joe Biden out there saying he's going to put folks, that Republicans are going to be putting folks back in chains. It's appalling. It's a total breach of trust.
Well, you know what I like about you is the way that you sit on the fence and you really don't say what on your heart, Lizzie. That's what I like about you the best, that you just.
If only I could make a decision.
Just decide, woman, please.
I'm such a fence sitter in this election. Can you tell?
No, you know it's. Well, I don't know. I want to know about the fence sitters. I want to know how you get to this point in this process, and in any poll go, I'm just not sure.
Gosh, I don't know. They're both
stay home.
So
stay
similar.
Home. If you ain't
no.
sure now. No. Don't worry about
yeah,
it.
I think people have decided, and I think the president's folks know that people have decided, because independents and undecideds always break, almost always break towards the challenger, despite what Barack Obama's little spinmeisters may tell you. And I think that they know he's going down. Like a old En Vogue song.
It just doesn't, you know, I don't think, I think I agree, but it doesn't look good for the president right now. That is for sure, because you can see everywhere that there's no lightning in the bottle again. There's no excitement. There's no excitement with the same folks who basically were off the chain excited at this time 4 years ago. You know what? And I know that we don't necessarily see eye to eye on this particular subject, but a lot of the president's worker bees are in black churches. That's what was worker bees. A lot of working bees in black churches, whole bunch of working bees, people in the pulpit saying, vote for the brother Obama 4 years ago. They were. It's amazing, but they were. That's all there was. And now, because of some policy decisions, that's not happening. As a matter of fact, the opposite of that is happening. Where you know what, the Justice Department is trying to interface with the black church, saying this is how you can say vote for Barack Obama and not get in trouble, and black churches are going, yeah, no thanks, really, we're cool, thank you very much, we're good, we're just going to talk about, I don't know, Jesus.
Right.
We're going to talk about Jesus and heaven and being good and, you know what?
Well, and redemption and forgiveness. I mean, this is the thing, is that, you know, I believe, look, I've made plenty, plenty, plenty of mistakes in my life. So I get it. You know, there's plenty of redemption out there for Barack Obama if he wants it. But you got to want it.
I don't think
you got to want it.
I don't.
And you
got
to ask for forgiveness. And you got to correct your ways. And you got to do the stuff. You got to do the work. And he's not doing it.
I think he thinks that he's right. I believe that that the president believes that he is correct, that the path that he is drawing for us is the one, and we're just misled. He hasn't explained it well enough to us. You know, that whole Democrat thing. Well, let me explain it again. You're not understanding it. No, I get you. You're just wrong, that's all. You're just wrong. Just wrong.
Right. He's just wrong. Folks who support him are just going to have to deal with the fact that Barack Obama is going to get challenged. It's not the end of the, you know, it's not the apocalypse when people disagree. I don't care if people disagree with me. They're free to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, please, you know, whatever. But all of this hyperbole and, you know, insane behavior, I'm just done. You know, because you disagree with someone doesn't mean that they're wrong or they're awful or they're evil or they're crazy. You know, you know, genocide, you know, I'm not that smart. It's a pretty low baseline. Everybody I know has gone their whole life without committing a war crime.
Let's see. What was the last two? No, that wasn't me. That was somebody else. No,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, someone else. See, we're good.
That wasn't me. That wasn't me. And you're absolutely right. And most people we know have go their whole life without shooting somebody with their firearm. Because they go their whole life without doing any of the heinous things the left says, oh, we've got to do something about. No, we really don't. We're fine.
Well, and they keep saying things. And I'm like, but that's a matter of settled law. That's already been handled. Like, can you not take the win legislatively? You already won that.
Yeah. You know what? There is no president, I don't care who it is, who's going to be able to go and go, hey, listen, we're going to fire some Supreme Court justices and we're going to overturn Roe v. Wade this afternoon at 3:30. Everybody down? No, it's
right.
Not going to happen.
Yeah,
it's just
exactly.
Not going to happen. It's not within the realm of possibility. It isn't. So if you've got a problem with abortion, I would just suggest that you work at it on the state level and, you know what, do what you can at the state level. That's my suggestion because Roe v. Wade is law, and it's going to be that way.
Right.
Just saying, y'all.
Well, and the thing is about Roe v. Wade is that if we want that to change, we have to raise a generation of children who raise another generation of children who make it obsolete. If you want it overturned, if you want it to not be relevant to people's lives, then you have to make it irrelevant. That means raising generation after generation of good children. That's wow. a lot of hard work.
That means
but
we have
people
to
need
do something,
to be doing
though.
It.
I mean, we have to do something ourselves. Are
yep,
you sure
we
that's
have
the way
to do
we
it.
Want to go about this? Are you sure we have to actually do something ourselves? We have to talk to our
I
children?
No, see, it's that whole personal responsibility thing. Can you even, mm-hmm. I mean, this is the problem.
I don't know. That's a little radical.
Such high expectations.
That's a little radical. Speaking of radical.
It's certainly radical to Barack Obama.
Speaking of radical, we're talking about Paul Ryan, and welcome to the Will Lawson Show. My friend Elizabeth Blackney is on the show with me this afternoon, and it is always a pleasure. I wish the show was like 88 hours long, and we could just hang out and have dinner together and just enjoy each other, because it would just be great fun. Our kids would come into the room and be fun. How is, because you know the Republican messaging machine, well, how can I say this kindly, it's not the best. Sometimes we just don't say it. We just freaking don't say it. I think that Paul Ryan is not only an articulate fellow. He's right on target and is able to explain himself and his views are very, very well. Now,
yep.
How is he going to get the megaphone from the Republican Party, especially now, because he needs that to explain to folks simple stuff like his views on Medicare? I explained to my son this morning, I said, you know what? Paul Ryan doesn't want to change Medicare for me. I'm 51. It ain't going to change much. My son's 21. I said, it's going to change for you in 30 years. And if you can't, I told him straight up, dude, if you can't prepare in 30 years, that's on you. And he went, I guess it is, Dad. I said, yes. If you can't prepare for a change in 30 years, that's on you.
Right. You're welcome, honey. Just FYI, you're going to have to take care of yourself.
Give me a hug.
No
right,
kidding, right? Oh, wait. You know what? I bet you'd already told him he's going to have to work it out for himself.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's just a guess.
Yeah, I did. I've told him. I've been telling him since he's been old enough to understand, you're going to have to work this stuff out on your own. And you know what? And Mom works at the credit union. And we talk about CDs and 401ks and blah, 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 and IRAs and all that stuff. Already, he's already, you know what, and he's going to be freaking rich when he's my age.
Right.
He's going to go, I don't know how I got rich then. I'm rich. But his whole idea is, how do we make sure that we're able to get over the din of he's radical because you know what they don't have to make sense. They just talk. You know, the left just talks. They don't have to make sense. They don't have to make a point. They don't have to do anything. They just have to get it said.
Right,
wrong, indifferent. They just have to get it out there in the universe. How do we get above that din?
You know, I think we don't need to get above the din. I think we need to get underneath. You know, I think we need to get kind of in the crust of everything. We need to get up under. and just, you know, and just till the fields and plant the seeds and start over. And I think that that's been Mitt Romney's strategy. It worked out pretty well for him in the presidential primary, and I think that it is a good strategy just in general. You know, I think that sometimes all of the noise is just, it's just noise. It ends up being just too much. And I think that wanting to make a difference, everybody wants to have the last word. If Barack Obama wants to go on TV and say crazy things, and he wants to let Joe Biden go out there and say crazy things, there's going to be a whole lot of people who will stay home from the polls. They may not vote for Mitt Romney, but mark my words, there's going to be more than a few people who, because of what Joe Biden said, are going to decide to stay home. Because that's the kind of comment where people go, boy, I don't know about that, brother. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about signing up for you to be in office for 4 more years. People will stay home. In the meantime, the rest of us need to do the work. We need to build the bench. We need to build it on social media and in online radio and in every local office. You know, I'm supporting, you know, I usually just do statewide stuff, and I worry about the presidential thing, and I rarely, you know, I have my own opinions about my local races. But this is the first time that I can remember where I'm really up in the crust of every race all the way down the ballot in my district where I live. And, you know, it's tough to spend the extra time that it takes to get to know who the candidates are, what they stand for, what their backgrounds are, and everything. And I'm supporting a 29-year-old Filipino-American who's running for school board. His name's Leonard Tinko. He's just awesome because he's a young guy. He's a former prosecutor. You know, he put the bad guys away. He's got a really strong military family, and he's just a great guy. We have to know who the local people are. And we have to know who they are, and we have to support them, and we have to build the bench. Because while we're doing all that hard work, Barack Obama and Joe Biden look crazier and crazier and more extreme. And that is a winning strategy. It's what Mitt Romney has done all over the country in the presidential primary. He did it, and then he picked Paul Ryan. And, I mean, that's more of, I mean, he just threw the gauntlet down. He's like, oh, okay, you want to talk about the economy and the budget? Let's do this. So he waited. He picked his moment to get above the din. And the minute he did, Barack Obama and Joe Biden lost their minds.
Yeah.
So we just have to be a little more strategic. Let's do a lot of heavy lifting. And then, you know, when it looks like they've got us on their ropes, uppercut. Uppercut. Oh, hey. Not so pretty now, are you?
Rope-a-dope. Yeah.
That's right.
All right, so that's the strategy. I might write this down on the board here. Rope-a-dope. There you go. Take the punches until they punch themselves out, and there's a little uppercut, and then, you know what I'm saying, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
That's right. And, you know, that's my man Mitt right there.
Yeah, you know what, and that really is seeing the strategy. Seeing the strategy, it seems, I think for some folks it seems plotting, but I didn't really get that. I think it seems deliberate, and again, I think that it's been professional and deliberate. Not a lot of craziness, not a lot of missteps, not a lot of going off the cuff, and a lot of staying on point, staying on message, which I thought was winning strategy from the beginning. I tell people all the time, just stay on point, stay on message, don't follow their craziness around. I think that that's probably the best way to go. And you make a great point, Liz. And we say this all the time here. You got to know who the farm team is. And I've had many conversations with people like Ned Ryan from American Majority, and what they do is run around the country building the farm team on school board elections and city council and county commission elections and aldermen. That's as important moving forward as anything, because it can't just be the top of the ticket all the time. It's got to be, who do we replace these people with when they get old? Who do we replace these people with if they suddenly lose their mind and go off course? Who do we replace these people with? And you know what? And if we haven't done our work at the local level where you and I live, then it isn't the party's fault. It's my fault because I haven't done the
heavy
work.
That's right. And we should take things personally. You know, we need to take all of it a whole lot more personally. Because when we do that, then we're in a much better place. Because then we're responsible for the work that we're doing. And we're taking ownership of it. And then we know that we got good people coming.
Yeah, and I think that's the exciting part, to know that we've got good folks coming. That you know what?
You know, if my vote didn't matter so much in Florida, I'd be moving to Tampa so I could vote for you.
Come on now.
people need to vote. We got to vote and we got to do the work. We got to vote, 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 and we got to do the work. That's all there is. And I know folks thought that the Romney strategy was plotting and it's not sexy enough and everything else. Here's the thing. Barack Obama is a popular, well-liked incumbent president who cannot get over 50 percentage points.
Yeah.
He can't break outside of it, and he can't get above it outside the margin of error. So, we're doing all of that plotting, non-sexy work. People are tired of hyperbole. They're tired of the crazy talk. They just want to know that the person they hire for the job. You know, these guys are auditioning. There are, this is the thing, Barack Obama. He may think he's the most powerful person on the planet, and I guess individually and alone, maybe he is. But he works for us. He's an employee. And he's in the midst of a performance review, and he can't break a 50-50.
Not so good, huh?
That's not good. If I only kind of did my job or only showed up half the time, I would have no clients and no money and no job.
Very
you
cool.
know, Barack Obama, he built that for himself. He built that I can't get to 50-50. I don't know any man who runs around acting like he's the MVP who can't break 50.
That's very true.
Not Steve Nash, brother. You better get back to work.
Yeah.
And you better get the rest of your staff on point because they matter too.
Yeah.
You know, the name ID of David Axelrod and of all of these other folks, that matters.
Yep.
And when every person we see who's affiliated with the president is angry, it's a problem.
I agree. You're right. They don't seem confident. I mean, they don't seem like they're, by the way, you guys are the incumbents. You should be more confident. And they don't seem confident. They do seem angry. They do seem aggressive. Because I'm wondering, this is coming from meetings and internal polling, because folks, there's a whole bunch of internal polling that they get that you don't see, which is why the president went back and said, oh, of course you built that. He didn't do that because he went, oh, I shouldn't have said that. He saw that those ads were working in their internal polling, and they had to react to it. Not that he still believes that you did anything for yourself, because he doesn't. But
right.
that's the kind of things that are going on internally that we get to see a little glimpse of. They really don't seem confident because they really haven't broken away. You would think that somebody who everyone says is such a nice person, because he does well in the, quote, likability scale, would be able to break 50 or break out at this point. But it doesn't seem to be happening for the president. So we are curious. All right, before I let you go, I want to ask you about some, because we're looking all up and down the scale. Here in Florida, we've got Bill Nelson, and now we've got Connie Mack, the 14th. Or something. I don't know how many Connie Macs there are, but there must be a hell of a lot of them. But we've got Connie Mack the 4th.
Product of a happy marriage, honey.
Apparently.
There are about 10,000 of them.
My goodness gracious. They must be Catholic, because the Pope says you got to do it. Okay.
How we roll.
But important Senate races around the country that we need to keep an eye on. I think we need to keep an eye on that one. What ones do you see around the country that we need to keep an eye on?
Well, I think control of the U.S. Senate is huge. And nothing would give me more pleasure than to see Bill Nelson defeated. So please, Florida, hook me up. It's long. It's personal. I detest Bill Nelson in a way that is completely unholy. And I just think he is one of the worst, other than John Kerry, he's my least favorite United States senator.
Wow.
just so we're clear. If people knew the kinds of things that he said and did privately towards our military, their eyes would bleed and burst from their head. I detest the man. And for me, it's personal. So it's, you know, it's my family's personal experience with him and his completely douchey behavior. Forgive my language. The douchebaggery that is Bill Nelson's tenure as a United States senator is beyond comprehension to me. So that race matters to me.
Next year.
Yeah. And so, you know, that race is a big deal. I think George Allen's race here in Virginia against Tim Kaine is going to be very, very tough. I think George is going to win it because I think that Mitt Romney is going to make that happen, and it's going to be the good stuff. And I think that there are other races around the country. You know, we've got House races that are tight, and I think that we need to be looking at every House race as if the apocalypse were nigh. I mean, we have got to staff every race up and down. And when people vote, you know, the way that we have momentum that delivers the presidency and control of the Senate, because here's the thing, we could very easily win the White House, control of the U.S. Senate, and keep control of the United States House this year. And if we do that, we're really on the knife's edge to make that happen. And that's why the going to put you back in change language. That's why all of the nasty things are being said and done by the Obama campaign. Because there's so much at stake. They know that the president does not have coattails for U.S. Senate seats. He does in swing states. He does not have coattails in swing districts for House seats. He doesn't have them for governor's races. He doesn't have them for state House or state Senate races, nothing. He's got nothing to offer Democrats on the ground. This is a ripe election for Republicans. That's why the strong, silent, do the hard work, make the phone calls, do the door knocking. That stuff this year is so huge. And when you get into the ballot, don't just vote for president and governor and walk out. Vote all the way down, because that kind of momentum, when we vote all the way down, we always take control.
I agree.
So our people have to remember, when you go in and vote, punch that ticket all the way.
I agree. I think we need to get back to retail, what they call retail politics, and that's door knocking and talking to your neighbor and shaking hands and waving signs, the whole deal. Get in front of the folks. Get in front of your friends. Get in front of your neighbors. Get in front of your family.
Yeah. Every time there's a rally, go to it.
Go. Exactly.
Go. Turn out in numbers. And the thing is, you know, I mean, 10,000 people in Wisconsin, 10,000 people are turning out. And when you turn out, whether it's door knocking or for rallies and everything, especially in places where we're going to have lots of rallies with Obama or Joe Biden, and we turn out for as protesters, or when we turn out for Mitt Romney and Paul Ryan, the bigger our numbers, the more momentum. That is not just, oh, I love Mitt Romney, he's so awesome. Look, I know there are people in our party who have misgivings. I get that, and I understand. But we need you at those rallies. Because you don't know if your rally with your 10,000 people is going to be the one where a mom and pop are sitting in front of their TV and they're like, you know what? It's on. Let's do this. Let's get involved. We got to help.
Exactly.
Because when we see the faces of other Republicans, of conservatives, of independents, of libertarians, of average Americans getting together and supporting each other, it's not just about Mitt Romney. It's about our country. It's about our kids. And we can do that together. And if we do that, that momentum will show up. And it'll start showing up in the polls. And most importantly, it'll show up in those vote tallies on Election Day.
And that's where it's most important. You're absolutely right. All right. Hey, listen, I'm going to let you go. You are awesome. Thank you ever so much for what you do. And, you know, and even better, how you do it. You do it in a way with style and grace and humor. If most people had your class, we'd live in a much better place. We'd live in a much better society.
You are too kind, and thank you for continuing to inspire me and for bringing so many new voices and people into our party. You know, if we win Florida, man, you know, they owe you a steak dinner at 1600 Pennsylvania.
I would eat it.
You should. You should ask for seconds.
That's exactly right.
I'd like some bacon wrapped scallops while you're at it, Mitt.
Well, only one potato? Come on, man.
Thank you, Willie.
Thank you ever so much, Lizzie. We appreciate you. Give everybody at your house a hug for me, okay?
I will. You do the same.
I will. Thank you ever so much. We appreciate you greatly. All right, that's my friend Media Lizzie. Lizzie Blackney. You can see her right at MediaLizzie.com. She is an amazing woman, as you've heard. An amazing woman. And an amazing American and a gold star wife and somebody who gets it, somebody who understands, somebody who's able to look through the fog and see what's actually going on. Just look at the whole thing and see what's going on and put things in their proper perspective. And I owe her a whole bunch. Listen, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with more of the Willie Lawson Show and take some calls right after these messages. We appreciate you.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Confusion ever someone or have sudden you trouble had speaking, understanding?
Understanding trouble? Have you sudden have or speaking someone ever confusion?
Have you ever had sudden confusion, trouble speaking, or understanding someone?
It could be one of the five signs of stroke.
Sudden weakness or numbness of the face, arm, or leg.
Sudden trouble with vision in one or both eyes.
Suddenly having trouble walking or difficulty with balance.
Or a sudden intense headache that comes out of nowhere.
If you or someone you know has any of these symptoms, don't wait. Call 911 immediately. You could make a difference in someone's life, someone you love, maybe even your own.
It's late until, wait, don't too.
Don't wait until it's too late. Time lost is brain lost.
Find out more at powertoendstroke.org. Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. I felt a little out of place, but it turns out I wasn't alone. At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of OIF and OEF vets who've got your back here, just like they did over there. So now, I'm never alone. I can get the resources I need and talk to tons of people who understand where I'm coming from.
Whether it's navigating the GI Bill,
or VA hospitals,
managing the transition home, or meeting people you can share stories with, you'll find it at IAVA.org.
Even if it's just everyday stuff. Like getting tips on where to find a nice sweater for my dog.
Did he just say
sweater?
That?
Really?
What?
Okay, maybe not that, but everything else. No matter where you are, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by Iraq Afghanistan Veterans of America and the Ad Council.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Willie Lawson, and I'm the host of the Willie Lawson Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. It is great to be here today on independent media, such as Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. I want to talk to you for a second about you supporting this endeavor. Now, you know what? The folks at Fox, they have sponsors.
multi-million dollar sponsors. You know, with enough sponsors, they make millions and millions of dollars a year. So you know what? They're fine doing what they do. But those of us here in independent conservative media need your help. So if you're willing to help, and if you understand the importance of independent conservative media, right now go to WillAustinShow.com and click on the donate button at the top of the page. I'll appreciate it, and your country will appreciate it. Thank you ever so much.
Welcome back to the Will Austin Show here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, the Will Austin Show is headed to Radio Row at the RNC convention. If you'd like to help out, we'd appreciate it. All you have to do is go to the WillAustinShow.com website and click the donate button on the top of the page. Anything and everything helps. Anywhere from $5 to $5 million, whatever you got to spare, go click the donate button. You don't have to have PayPal. I know it looks that way. All you have to do is go down to where the pictures are in the bottom there and click the continue button, and then you can just fill out your information there, and I'd appreciate it. There you go. All right, listen, we are back, and you see if I can adjust that off. Apparently, yeah, all right, there you go. Again, thank you for coming to Will Austin Show. On the show was my friend Media Lizzie from MediaLizzie.com, Elizabeth Blackney, and I appreciate her greatly. Listen, we got a call on line one. Thanks for waiting for so long. We appreciate it from the 256. Good morning and welcome to Will Austin Show. How may we help you?
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. Thank you.
I'm a first-time listener. I used to work and used to be able to work this time of day, but because of Obama lying and saying that he doesn't support outsourcing jobs, the industry that I work for just outsourced to Mexico.
Good God, I'm sorry, man. That sucks.
I'm good, though. I'm only 20 years old, but...
Yo, man. I mean, I got a 21-year-old in the house. You heard, hell, everybody in our house got to work. That's how it is, bro.
Hey, it's hard. It's hard to find a job. I mean, Barack Obama, he's you know, people think that states like Alabama, oh, they're Republican. They're going to lean Republican. There's nothing Democrats can do to change that. He's just playing an ad. I sit here and I counted last night, that ad played 17 times in a hour's time.
Holy crap.
He is playing the crap out of ads in Alabama. But there's good news. There's really good news. I'm the bearer of good news today, not the bearer of bad news.
Yay. We can use some good news.
There was people saying that when Romney picked Paul Ryan, they was like, oh, no, when the liberal media came out and they was like, Ryan wants to push grandma off the cliff and all that. Well, they was like, oh, no, seniors in Alabama were, oh, no, we're not going to vote Romney, but just because of this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then when Romney came out earlier and had some interview on some news station that was support, you know, they picked it up around here. And he revealed that Obama was in with the UN, and they were talking about a UN small arms treaty and that how this would do away with our Constitution. I've had 15 people that say that they wasn't going to vote, that they just wasn't going to vote in the presidential election because they had no one to vote for that they felt that they could vote for. Now they're just saying they're just going to go out and vote against Obama because he's trying to do away with our constitutional rights.
Well, good. That's good news because that's true, too. You know, I've told people, listen, you know what? And John Boehner, who was the Speaker of the House, said, you know what? You don't have to fall in love. You ain't got to fall in love with Mitt Romney. You don't. You just have to know what else is out there. And we've had 4 years, almost 4 years of Barack Obama. You know what that dude's all about. You know what? We've all experienced this. So you know what? And I don't know if you're listening when I was talking to my guests. I said, you know what? When this all came about at the beginning of this campaign, there were 9 Republican candidates. People asked me, who are you going to support? And I'm going to say, and I said, a bowl of soup and a plate of Ritz crackers. It didn't make any difference to me. It doesn't make any difference because the deal is that we cannot survive. And you guys, you and my son are a similar age. I can't sit idly by while your future gets shoved down the toilet, while your personal freedoms, you know what, for you and your kids, get shoved in the toilet. I can't sit idly by. So you know what? Mitt Romney ain't my favorite. Okay, but you know what? He's a damn sight better than Barack Obama. So let's replace Barack Obama and then start working in our communities and making sure that, just like my guest said, we've got a farm team ready to go. When it's time to replace Mitt Romney, we got somebody who's a little bit more conservative, okay? That we'll replace him, and you know what? And everyone will just go up the ladder, because that's what we have to do. We got to do the hard work. I'm glad. That's great news that people are saying, well, you know what? There is that whole freaking Constitution thing that we had to worry about.
You know, I was going to college to become a lawyer, and I had to drop out of college because I couldn't afford it. But yet there are illegal immigrants that live in my town, and I was going to the University of Alabama, and there were illegal immigrants at the University of Alabama who were getting full ride paid for by the United States government.
Damn shame.
And I was sitting there, and I wasn't getting the full ride. And I wasn't, you know, I had a scholarship, but I still had, you know, I didn't make enough. I worked at a trailer plant here recently, and they outsourced to Mexico. So, you know, I couldn't finish my education. You know, how are we going to build a better America when you've got older generations like Barack Obama just turning around, nah, let's give it to the illegal kids? That's not fair. It's not fair at all, because I worked very hard in school. And, you know, I wasn't rich in school, and everybody thought, oh, do away with him when I quit high school because I was bored with it. And then I went and got a GED, and then I finished 2 years, and then I was in law school. I was about to be in law, you know, I was in the University of Alabama going to go to law school.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just gets shoved, and I'm like, you're throwing me out of school because I can't pay for it? But wait a minute, I'm an American. They're not.
Well, you know what, I agree, and this is a hard, because people don't want to say this out loud, man. Let me help you. People don't want to say this out loud, that there needs to be some privilege given to membership. There is some privilege to membership. And what I mean by membership is that you and my kid are both members of this country. You're citizens of this country. So if there is aid to be given, now there may not be aid to be given in every situation, but if there's aid to be given, it needs to go to people who are citizens first. Definitely not people who aren't supposed to be here. And I get it, man. You get it too. If you got brought here from Mexico when you were 2 years old by your parents, you didn't bring yourself here. I get that. I mean, that's reasonable. I get all that. But that withstanding, what about the people who've been doing it right? The people who were born here. How about the people who were brought here and came here legally? And whether they came from Mexico or the Sudan or from France, and they did it legally. What about them? You know what? These people who are illegal not only are stepping in front of you and my son, they're stepping in front of the people who did it, who came here from other countries who did it right, who went through all the paperwork and the hassle and all that crap. Because there's a lot of crap, dude. A lot of freaking crap. Don't leave the country, because getting back is a B.I.T.
Yeah.
It's awful. Don't leave, because it's tough to get back. You know what? What about those people who did it right? These folks who have not done it right are stepping in front of them. And that's where people are angry, and that's where people get frustrated. And they may say things that they don't really mean, but it's out of frustration. You know what? There's got to be some privilege of membership, and you did it right. You mean, yes, you are blessed to be born here. My son was blessed to be born here, and you are blessed to be born here, because being born in Haiti would have sucked. I'm telling you straight up, being born in Haiti would have sucked. You guys got to be born here. But by the same token, if there's aid to be given and there's aid needed, it needs to go to our American kids first. I believe it has to go to American kids first. I mean, you know what? If you needed help, you know, to extend your scholarship to, you know what, to make some room or whatever, so you can continue, because you're obviously somebody who got it together. You know, your kid decided, well, you know what, maybe I should get my GED, and maybe I should go to community college, and you graduated from community college, and you went to Alabama, and you're headed to law school. You're somebody who got it together, and I appreciate that. And you know what, and not to be able to finish simply because, first of all, you know what, and I'm a minority, but first of all, you're not a minority. crap. That's bull crap. Second of all, you happen to be born here and you did everything right and not get assistance. You know what? That ain't right. I agree with you, Holmes. I'd be pissed too. I would be pissed too. It ain't right. It ain't right, Holmes. I agree with you. I am down. Like they say, I am down with your struggle. I am, because it ain't right. It's not fair. It's not right.
People try to play up the race card nowadays, but listen, hey, I'm just like everybody else. You know. Okay, I'm white. I'm not going to deny it. I'm white.
No, you're a white dude? Come on, man.
Yeah, I'm white dude.
From Alabama? I love it.
Yeah. They said, I'm white. But I'm no better than anybody else just because I'm white. Our blood color's the same.
That's exactly right.
And then they play up the race card nowadays. I see it on Fox. I see it on CNN. I see it on MSNBC. And I see them playing up the race cards all the time, like Trayvon Martin gets shot. Yeah, George Zimmerman shouldn't have got out the car, but Trayvon Martin shouldn't have been looking like a thug walking around with his pants hanging off his butt and a hood over his head either. So either way they want to rule down there, that's their business. It's not mine. But see, neither way I do it, I'm not a racist.
No. And you know what? And about that, you said pretty much what I said. Well, what I've been saying since the beginning. You know, if Zimmerman stays in his freaking car, this doesn't happen. He got told by the police, no, we don't need you to do that. But no, he's gonna. You know, he thinks he's freaking Dirty Harry. And then he puts both him and Trayvon Martin in that situation. It's a bad deal. And you know what? And as it turns out, what I said all along was that George Zimmerman is an idiot, and it's playing out that way. Unfortunately, he was an idiot, and now there's another kid dead. You know what? And you know, I want to see these people who play the race card on MSNBC and CNN. I want to see them show up because here's the deal, man. I don't know about where you live, but where I live in an urban area, you know what? There's some black kid who gets shot by somebody who looks just like him every freaking weekend.
That's right.
Where's the outcry? Who's crying and holding the vigil for that mom who's lost her only son or that family who's lost their kid? Where's the outcry then? There isn't any outcry. I'm going to tell you why. Because nobody give a damn. I'm going to tell you just straight up. But they don't care about those kids. They use that as a way to push their agenda. And that's all they do. And it's disgusting and it's awful. So, what are you planning now, man? What are you planning? What are your plans? How are you going to make this all better?
The first thing we're going to do, see, I'm working at my family owns. I lucked up. My family owns the lumber yard and some other lumber yards and stuff like that. You know.
All right.
So I love if I can go there, but first thing we got to do, everybody from my generation, we got to smarten up. And stop with this liberal logic that we want to be different from any generation and we want to be tolerant. So Jesus was tolerant, okay? It doesn't matter who you are. Jesus was tolerant of all people. And in the Old Testament, it says that if a man lies with a man, like a man lies with a woman, then surely they should be put to death and their blood be upon their own hands. But Jesus taught love, okay? So I'm not out here saying I'm against gay people, but I'm a conservative. I'm not going to go out here and tell this gay person, hey, you're going to hell, but I don't expect that gay person to come and tell me, hey, I want to get married like your God says I should be able to get married. Don't step on my toes. I won't step on yours. That's the logic I follow. And I think it's time for our generation to stop with the propaganda that buying into the people like Nicki Minaj and Ellen DeGeneres and stop being trying to act like the Jersey Shore, because that's what Barack Obama and that's what all liberals want you to do. They want you to act like those people. They want you to buy in their ideas, and they want you to act that way, because if they can get you acting that way, then they can control you. They can get into your mind. They know what you're thinking. They know that if they can get you believing that being gay is cool, then they can get you believing that gays being married is okay. Well, mm-hmm. And they believe that, like, if they believe that, see, I know a couple of people that's on the internet, and they're saying that the government's behind all these shootings, like in Colorado and stuff like that, but I don't believe that, but
no.
It's kind of odd that we've had, like, 6 national shootings in 6 weeks. And, you know, it's it's crazy that now people starting to buy into, oh, maybe we do need stricter gun control. No, we don't. Listen, this is what we need. We need people to stop acting like idiots, and we need to take back our country because, you know, Billy Graham said that to get a country back on its feet, first we got to get down on our knees. And we've left God out of America. God didn't leave America. America left God. And without God, a nation's not going to exist. Ronald Reagan even said that, I believe. And we're not going to exist. And in 50 years, there's not going to be United States of America.
You know what's scary, man? You know what's scary? I got to let you go. But you know what's scary? You know, when you start reading Revelation, there's no mention of the United States.
No, because we are the foreign country. And the Bible is, we are the foreign country.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen, man, I'm so glad you listened. I hope that you listen some more. I hope you listen again. And feel free to call in, man. It's always good to hear from young folks who get it, who understand it, who get it.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you. All right, we're going to take a short break. Come back. We've got some things to tell you about. If you're coming down to the convention, we got a couple of events that we want to tell you about and a couple of opportunities for you to do well. Listen, again, thanks for coming to the Will Our Show here on Blog Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Attention business owners and individuals who owe the IRS. Do you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes? You need aggressive representation. Call Certified Tax now and speak to one of our tax attorneys, enrolled agents, or tax professionals who specialize in tax liens, back taxes, tax debt, wage garnishment, and collections. We won't waste your time. Instead, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. And you can become a client right now. We've settled millions of dollars in tax issues for a fraction of the cost. Find the peace of mind knowing the IRS will not be knocking at your door. Protect your home, business, and family today. We know the tax laws, and we act fast. Call today for your free, no-obligation consultation. 1-800-663-0965. Remember, we'll be on the phone with the IRS within 30 minutes of you becoming a client. That's guaranteed. Call Certified Tax at 800-663-0965. That's 800-663-0965. Again, 800-663-0965.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor, or mentor. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
Loving life, baby. Welcome back to the Will Our Show here on Blog Talk Radio and Red State Talk Radio Network. We still will send a show up there every now and again. I don't know, we might send this one up here. It's 2 hours. We might send it up there and see what they do with it. You know what? Support them. They're still good guys. Listen, we got to get this call on here on line one from the United Socialist Republic of Connecticut. My friend is sending out an SOS. Robert, we hear you. We hear you.
Hey, brother, how you doing? Listen, I enjoyed that guest there. It's been my pet peeve here for quite a while. There's so much talent out here in independent movement here. And sometimes I kind of, I love Fox for the most part, but they need to open up their pool, period. Because there is so much talent out here, okay, and so many great communicators. I would love nothing better than for you to go up against Juan Williams, because I think you can hold your own.
I think I could. I thought Black, and that would definitely throw him off his game.
Yeah, because here's the thing, right? You know, because I'm an observer and I'm an analyst. Now, love the fact that we have a vehicle. But here's the thing that I've noticed. You notice there is not one African American that has any kind of real consistent presence on Fox.
No.
That is conservative.
No.
I mean, Juan Williams is moderate at best, and he used to be a pretty reasonable guy. Now, for some reason, he thinks his sole purpose is to stay inside Obama's colon.
Sure.
And I'm starting to lose a lot of respect for him. We don't see, if people don't see, we have, I mean, that's just human nature. Now, because what they do, they make it easier for the left to say, see here, it's you know, conservatism is basically white supremacy. If they don't see on a consistent basis someone that looks like them saying sure, blah, 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 they make themselves an easier target. And quite frankly, I would say as an independent here, I mean, it wouldn't be so hard. Why can't an African-American have a little spot there? Or some commentary on a consistent basis. I'm not saying that they don't have Black conservatives there, but I think it's a difference when you actually have somebody. Why can't we have a counter to Juan Williams that happens to be African-American and that's not speaking collectivism?
Well, you know what? What I don't understand is, why do you have, I mean, these stations have people like Juan Williams on, basically, to be the Black guy in the room
exactly,
all the time. And so he ends up being the defender of the other Black guy who's in office. When you're just talking about Black guy issues. I want to know why you don't have a C.L. Bryant, why you don't have a Thomas Sowell, why you don't have a Walt
exactly,
Williams. Why don't you have Alfonso Rachel, why don't you have somebody like that on all the time talking about whatever.
Yeah, to really showcase the best, or certainly the diversity in the conservative community.
Sure.
They don't do it. Why that is, and I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt here, but it's like you've got to take the argument, and you've got to take diversity back from the liberals. Okay? Now, as crappy and just as, quite frankly, in my opinion, as vile as Al Sharpton is, he has a show. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that MSNBC is a you know, counterfeit, clown, so-called journalistic network. But they bring it to the table.
Whatever.
Why
it is,
don't we have
there,
a conservative that, at least if he can't get a show, because I know he would be going up against some big boys. You know, you got Sean. Obviously,
whatever.
Bill O'Reilly is about as big as you can possibly get worldwide.
But the idea is how much, I mean, the idea is, yes, it's going to be tough. But the idea is, what's your commitment to this? And you know what? And Fox
exactly,
News, I wonder if they have a commitment to it. And I haven't seen it. Which is why we're out here doing what we, I mean, that's what we're out here doing what we do on our own. That's why, you know, Kane TV exists on the internet. That's why Kane TV is out there. That's why C.L. Bryant is out here doing his own thing. And that's why, you know, K. Carl Smith is out there doing his own thing. Because there's not a place for us to land right now in mainstream media. And until mainstream media, even Fox, gets it, there won't be. Listen, I got about 45 seconds. Listen, man, we're going to do this again tomorrow, same bat time, same bat channel. Thanks for calling from the United Socialist Republic of Connecticut. Thank you, Media Lizzie, for coming on the show today. Thank you, my friend from Alabama, for being on. We've had two really, really fantastic, fabulous days in a row. Baby, don't forget that the Will Austin Show is headed to Radio Row. We need your help. Go ahead and send your money. Go to willaustinshow.com and click the donate button at the top of the page. It is important that you do so. We'll be back tomorrow. Listen, and we got some events planned that I want to tell you about. Until then, go out there and learn something, love somebody, and for goodness sakes, take care of yourself. We'll see you when we see you.